Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Talk with Doug and Jeremy. We're just two insignificant views on film. Check us out at realtalkfilm.com. You can also visit our Facebook at facebook.com/realtalkfilm or Twitter at twitter.com/realtalkfilm.
Hello, Doug.
What up?
Well, do you want to know what's up, or is that like a rhetorical? Is it like kind of one of those soft, like, I'm just going to say what's up, or do you actually want to know what's up?
I mean, yeah, it's whatever.
You don't care. You do not care. Doug, we skipped last week.
We
didn't have a show.
It was a dumb decision.
It really was. It was a matter of just both of our schedules being very, very tight.
It was. It wasn't like a dumb decision because it wasn't really a decision as much as it was just.
And we schedules. Tried. We tried.
Yeah.
We got, let's see, we missed Monday. We're like, all right, let's do Tuesday. Then something came up for you Tuesday. Then something came up for me Wednesday. And then we just said, you know what? Let's not rush it. Let's just wait for next week and make people's ears really, really water up and, you know, just really want our voices inside their brains.
Yep.
So, some big news, man, coming out of Dallas this week.
Oh, I know. It was huge.
Do you want me to say it or do you? I mean, I know.
No.
Maybe you want to say it.
I want to say it.
Okay.
All right. Dallas Comic Con is
set it
fine.
Up. No, set it up, Doug. Okay.
Dallas.
Give
Dallas,
a little history listen, of what's going on with the Dallas Comic Con.
I was going to, but you just interrupted me.
You were going to say the headline first.
Nope. Dallas Comic Con. All right. So we went.
Start over.
We went this summer, you know, and it was, I don't even know how much square footage they had, but it was not enough. It was just absolutely horrendous, and there was too many people for the space they had, and it was just a nightmare trying to get around.
We've documented it in past podcasts.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
You've heard us complain about it. And then, you know, then we went to Alamo City and we were like, this is amazing. There's so much space. It was awesome. Well, Dallas this past week finally announced that their contract with the Irving Convention Center is up. Finally, everyone's rejoicing and they are moving to Dallas.
Now, let's give a little bit of detail. It's only the Dallas Comic Con that's moving to Dallas.
It will probably be after. Okay, they have one more convention at the Irving Center. And that is their sci-fi expo, the one that they do in, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, Spandays it's a sci-fi, in October. Yeah, it's sci-fi.
And that one is in February. And so that one will still be there. But in May, they will move to the Dallas one. And as far as I understand, everyone after that will be there too.
Is this right? Am I seeing this right? 60,000 square feet?
Not, I don't think it was 60.
600,000?
I think it was 600,000.
Why did I say I said 60,000. All right, everybody, just cram into this room.
Yeah. 600,000. Now, I don't know how much was at the Irving Center, but apparently this is a lot more.
And you know what's really funny is that they just got done building the Irving Convention Center probably, what, 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Probably around there. Probably more than three because they've been there for 3 years.
Yeah, so probably 4 years ago. And it's just like, all right, well, we've already outgrown you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So
it was just, we've talked about it. It's just a terrible layout. I mean, you look at it from the outside and you're like, wow, that's a really cool-looking building. Like, it's very modern and kind of, you know, like, artistic. But then you get in the outside and you're like, this is dumb. Why is there only, like, one way upstairs?
Exactly. Unless you want to walk outside, which is 110-degree heat.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the Dallas one, it's all on one floor, so there will be no more going up and down escalators.
Well, you will have to go up one escalator to get to the floor. Because yeah, if you're coming in from the garage, there's a bottom floor.
Okay. But everything after that is supposed to be on one floor.
Yes. Everything after that,
all
on one floor. And they even have a snack bar.
Well, the one in Irving did too, but it was right next to the vendors, and so like the line would like then bleed into the vendor section, and then like where people are trying to walk, it was a night. Oh, it was terrible.
Oh yeah.
If you guys don't know, we did
we
not.
We could tell
enjoy.
You again. We'll let you know.
Yeah, we did not enjoy Dallas Comic Con setup.
Not at all. But
so
we're excited. They just announced that they're accepting applications for some vendors, and next up will be, of course, ticket announcements and press announcements. That means that we're going to try to go.
Yeah, for the February one. Obviously, the summer one won't happen until after this one.
Right. The February one we're going to try to go to. I believe that we will continue to ask about 4 times a year, and eventually they'll just be like, oh my God. Okay, guys, come on. You're in, okay?
Yeah. Oh, just go away.
Yeah. Just take these and go away, please.
So, you know, and I was reading on their site just about like what the press has versus, you know, in comparison to what we had at Alamo City, and it's just like Alamo City was like, you know, press, you've got access to all the panels, you've got access to this, you've got access to that. Dallas Comic Con's like, you have, you know, like kind of first come first serve for panels, you have like just
we were treated really, really well when people found out that we were press. And we had no limitations. We only had one limitation, which we talked about, which was Adam West. We couldn't take pictures of him. But anybody else, like, we pretty much had free reign. We even went behind some of the showroom floor, like in the background stuff, to go take an interview with a cast of a film. And so called Now Hiring. And so I was about to leave it out, and I was just like, well, let's give him a plug again. So
yeah.
But I mean, we weren't questioned one time on anything we were doing. Like even when we leaned over the Walking Dead,
the tables,
the pictures. To take the pictures. Nobody said a word to us.
Yeah, well, and like it was fantastic because, you know, I was talking to my boss about this. Just like, you know, Saturday and Sunday, you look and there's just this line of just thousands of people. You know, just thousands of people in line to get into this thing, and then we just like just bypass it and walk right in.
I felt really bad about it, but at the same time I was like, yep.
I was like, well, this is why we do this. I mean it's not the only reason.
We're big geeks and we love it, but this is a good byproduct of why we do this.
Yeah. So. But like, here it goes. Exhibit floor access to the event during hours open to the public, which leads me to believe that means that you can't get in early. All right. Mm-hmm. Limited access to seminars and panels based on capacity. Potential interview opportunities with Dallas Comic-Con, Sci-Fi Expo, and Fan Days personnel and guests. Potential.
Everything is an asterisk. So
yeah. It's just, I mean, we would love to go because this is like our home turf, you know, convention, and it's just... they've kind of been snooty in their responses, and then going to it and being kind of disappointed. It was kind of lackluster.
Now I will say that I will definitely go. We will definitely go to the Dallas Comic Con in Dallas. Fan Days Sci-Fi Expo is up in the air right now. Yeah. If we don't get press, I don't really care about going, just because of the fact that it's kind of a mini version of Comic Con. I mean, it's fun. But at the same time, it's kind of, there's not much to report on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and maybe the first time we went in, we didn't go in with like with the mindset that we did when we went to Alamo City, and that one, you know, like we found stuff to,
oh yeah, we found stuff to cover, yeah,
to cover. And I think part of the problem is that when we were in Dallas is that it was so crammed, that it was so packed, that there wasn't that opportunity, because it was either you're stopped at an exhibitor or a vendor, or you're being herded like cattle through a line of people, mm-hmm, just to get places.
Yeah, I think the experience tells it all. I really do. I think that the experience that we had down at Alamo City provided us with an opportunity to be free and open and find those opportunities. But when you have no space, you're really just like, I just want to get out of here. I don't even want to buy anything. I just want to go.
Exactly. I bought some stuff at the Dallas one, and it was like one of those, it just became like a pain in the butt to carry around, because it was just like I'm already having to deal with my bag and cameras and whatnot, and then have a bag full of stuff that I bought. But Alamo City also posted something this week. They said they're gonna have some big news coming within the next few months. I don't really know. They hinted at maybe moving to summer.
Yeah, well, they said that we may kick off the summertime because there's construction going on around the convention center in October.
Yeah, but so, then they posted yesterday or the day before saying, like, that they were going to stay in October. So it's
okay,
like they've
well, that's
good. Kind of gone back. I would prefer them stay in October because
the
I like
the weather
having,
was beautiful. The weather was great.
It was really nice, and I don't know. Just if we had to do a convention in May and then another convention like in June,
it'd be wore out.
Yeah, and in the Texas heat, it'd just be like it'd be terrible.
Well, anyways, so. Enough about the conventions. Let's move on to our news that we got here because there's a lot to cover.
Yeah, this is the problem of not covering for like a week.
Yeah, so let's get right into it, huh?
And now the headlines with Doug and Jeremy. We're bringing you the biggest news stories of the week.
Well, if you don't know who Kevin Smith is, he's a director of many films that a lot of probably our listeners have watched. Clerks 2, Chasing Amy,
Mallrats,
Dogma, Jane, Silent Bob, Strike Back. He's making his first movie in 3 years called Tusk. And he started a podcast network called Smodcast or Smodco. And he is the reason why I am podcasting today. He was the inspiration behind it. He's a big voice for podcasters, and you know he's the one who gives everyone and says, you know what, you got a mic, you got the internet, you don't have to be me, just go do it. So, anyways, he hosted an event over the weekend with Yahoo, which had Zack Snyder on it, Amy Adams, and of course, what's his face, Superman himself.
Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Cavill?
Henry Cavill. When it was over, Zack Snyder took out his phone, and man, I could read this off, or I could find the clip.
I'll just go ahead and read it.
Oh man, that clip is so much better though. It says, I saw the costume more than I saw, you know, no, I'm going to find the clip.
See, you should have had this all ready to go, because now you're just going to have dead time, or I'm going to sit here and talk, and you look for something.
Well, it's not going to be, it's going to be really quick. You know why? Because I already got it.
There you go.
You're welcome. All right, here it is. Kevin Smith talking about checking out the new bat suit for the new movie.
Here's what he pulls me to the side and he shows me, he pulls out his iPhone, man, as if it was going to be like, look at this picture of my kids.
Right.
And he showed me something that just, I'm not kidding. I went glassy eyed, and not because I was baked.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely glassy eyed. I went weak in the knees and shit. And it made me happy in such a way that nothing that I'm not involved with or something has made me feel in a long fucking time. I saw the Batman costume.
Shut up. Ben Affleck's costume?
More than that, I saw a picture of him in the costume.
No way.
Now,
Was he crying? Because he cries a lot, that guy. So a lot of tears come out of him.
No, he was counting a pile of money, dude.
He was dabbing his eyes with hundreds.
Now, I don't want to give anything away because that's up to them and stuff.
Right,
but
so let's put the picture up now of that costume. Oh, wait a minute, I don't think we have that picture.
But I'm going to say this, man. It made, I instantly bear hugged him. It is, you have not seen.
Probably not the reaction he wanted, I might add.
He was happy with that. You have not seen this costume in a movie on film before. Yeah. It is, and for a comic book fan, it was mind bending. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Only you have enough power to pull this off, man. Because everyone always like does this fucking Matrix-y kind of slash X-Men.
Black armor black thing, locked in, rivets.
This is
nipples sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single nipple
nipples?
This fucking suit, man.
Well, that's promising.
It was fantastic. I'm telling you, as a geek, I was just like, so they're going to, who knows?
Sure, there wasn't a heart attack.
Yes. I was like, this is giving me a heart attack. He's like, it might be the donut. So I was like, all right. I've already, of course, a flag waver for the movie, but the costume, it blew my mind. I'm
that
so fucking
cool.
Happy. I think even you will be happy. I think everyone is just going to be like, holy shit. It's It's its own thing, man. It's like we haven't been down this path at all. Oh, I was so elated. As happy as I was for that movie, as excited as I was, knowing a guy in a suit helps, but whether I knew that dude or not, as excited as I was like a child, dude. I wanted to see Batman and Superman together on the big screen since there was a Batman TV show with Adam West, a Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. It was right. Like, why can't they meet and fuck? I didn't say that. But,
no,
I was like,
why? But you were thinking it.
It was in my deep black heart.
That's right.
But this, seeing that image, dude, like, instantly, it was like that moment in Ratatouille when, like, the dude, the critic, eats the fucking Ratatouille. And it goes racing, like, back to his childhood.
Right.
And I was a fat little kid watching Batman holding Amigo Superman doll against the screen and trying to make it happen.
Trying to force them together. With a Chips Ahoy in the other hand.
So... that was a little preview there. 3-minute clip from Hollywood Babylon. I definitely recommend checking that show out if you're liking some laughs. There is a lot of inappropriateness with the show, yeah. So it's definitely not for everybody.
Well, it's Kevin Smith.
It's Kevin Smith. So. He's unapologetic, but I love his enthusiasm, and I love his love for all things comics, and Batman is his favorite character, and just the way he described it, I couldn't put it into words better than he could.
Yeah. There's a quote that I don't think we actually got to where he says it's a very, and then he bleeps it out himself. Like I said, the studio audience got to hear it, but the online audience does not, and he says it's just a very beep influence to it, or... influence.
Yeah,
to
I'm
it.
Very wonder. I'm very curious to know what that bleep is.
Does that not suck? Like not knowing what it is. Like I hope someone in the crowd has leaked it to what he said. But like I want to know.
Yeah. Like what?
What Batman are we gonna see?
Because the way he talked about it, I mean, he said mind bending.
Yeah, and one that we've never seen before.
So it's gonna be. I'm curious to know if it's like, if they did like the Frank Miller suit.
I mean,
no armor. I'm just that'd be crazy.
Well, in The Dark Knight Returns, he does, when he goes up against Superman, he does have that huge like arm. I don't even know what to call it. He looks like a tank because he's just got this huge armor on because he's fighting Superman. Mm-hmm. And he's got to be able to take the hits and stuff. So I wonder if that's it. But at the same time, like it's just he has a bat suit on and then he has like armor on over that, like. Mm-hmm. like he's getting ready to go like practice football and like he's playing against like I don't know the defense or something, like he's just about to like take a hit.
In other news, Dick Grayson is rumored to appear in Batman versus Superman as Nightwing.
Yeah, you've got to clarify that, because even like when you first shared this article from Slash Film with us, you know, the picture is freaking is Robin's suit.
Well, here, because this is the first one that came out. It's been updated a couple times. It came out as Robin was going to be him, but then it got updated with the Latino review, mm-hmm. and they're the one who came out and said it's going to be Nightwing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said, you know, of course, it's all rumors, but the Latino Review has been really good about their inside information.
They have. They've got a great insider guy, and he's been spot on from the last Batman movie as well. So,
And he said, he just kind of gave the lowdown that it's an, you know, adult Dick Grayson. This is one who has had a falling out with Batman, and that we may see kind of that tension between the two of them.
Which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, when you post this and it was Robin that we saw,
you were far against it.
I was like, oh, there's no the only way that I would accept there being a Robin is if it was Timothy Drake or Damian Wayne, mm-hmm. and as Robin, because those are my opinion like the two best Robins. But then you're like, no, it's him as Nightwing. And I was like, okay, see, I'm sold. Like, that's perfect.
I'm
like,
okay. So the more that this is coming together, the more I think that you are accepting of it. Because I know when it first got announced, you were like, and then when it first got announced, I'm sure everybody's mind got blown. And then Batman got announced, and you were like, I'm out. I'm totally out.
I'm still
are you
on the
slowly
fence.
Coming to, though?
I'm still on the fence about... their choice for Batman. Mm-hmm. It's really gonna have to take a trailer or like being like Kevin Smith and seeing him in the suit probably to like really sell me on it. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a hard visualization for me. But these little things I'm kind of excited about. I love the Batman like universe,
the mythos.
Yeah, like I love it. And so
there's rumors, of course, that Wonder Woman is going to be in it.
Yeah, and there's rumors that what was her name? I just like closed that article like literally 10 minutes ago.
We were just talking about it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, what was her name? She's in the new Thor movie. I think that she's this sucks. Why would you do this to me?
Now who's searching for
man,
things?
Jamie Alexander is her name. She was in Thor or is in Thor currently. And oh man, I'm never going to be able to Sif? I don't know. I haven't seen Thor, so I don't know who she is.
You haven't seen Thor yet?
Mm-mm.
What happened to you?
I went and saw something else this weekend. But yeah, so there's rumors that she's been in talks, you know, and of course how people are when they're like, people are asking like, hey, you gonna be in this movie? They kind of give that round, you know, because if you're in it, I understand that maybe you can't say that you are yet, but if you're not, like, just say no. Like, no, I'm not in it.
But I love people that are just like, yeah, because they want their name out there,
I guess. But at the same time, just like, instead of running like everyone through the loop and stuff, like, oh, are they? Are they not? You know, like, oh, they didn't give us a, you know, just give them a solid answer. Like, I know, I understand if you can't say yes. And that's where people, you get that, I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see.
But, you know, like, if you're not in it, just sit. No, I'm not. Like, yeah. And just squash the rumors. Because, and here's why. Internet rumors have been, like, tearing. I don't know. It makes it really hard for us to report news. I have an example. And it's on our list of things to cover tonight. So, Bruce Campbell has said that Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness 2 is not happening. And there's a video clip of it and him just like, oh, you know, it's all the internet. You know, you give them one little piece of information and they just run with it and then it's everywhere.
You gave them the information.
I know. That's one of the things. It's like, well, you said it. That it was happening at like WonderCon, so like you can't be like too mad about it.
Well, you know, a lot of the reasons why they do this kind of stuff as well is because they kind of want to gain interest in the film and what they're talking about, so that way the studio will be like, oh man, people are really talking about this. Let's do this, yeah. So I mean, there's always reasons that we never know why they do it. It's very annoying to us.
Yeah.
But there's always reasons, I'm guessing.
But that's the thing. Like, I know that he, you know, or he said that it was happening, or he was quoted saying, yes, it'll happen. And then, you know, but they have like this huge, not interview, but it was an interview somewhere, but it's a clip. And they're like, so, you know, Army Darkness 2. And then he just goes on like a rant of just like, it's not happening. You know, it's not happening until like we're shooting. Like, until then, it's not happening.
It can still happen, but it's not happening.
Yeah, like, as of right now, it's not happening. It could, but it's not. And then, like, the director of Evil Dead 2 has said that he's not coming back to direct.
There's not going to be another Evil Dead from him.
Yeah, but it's just, like, all this, like, conflicting stuff where the internet is saying, like, they're saying that, yes, it is, and then they're coming out and saying, no, it's not. So that's where I'm saying, just give us a freaking straight answer. Yeah. Like, and it's something like this where it's like, are you making a sequel? Just say yes if you are. Don't give us this, well, maybe. I mean, guess we'll see. Just freaking tell us.
You're so passionate about it.
I just hate this back and forth, especially with like the Evil Dead stuff, because we were pretty excited about it.
Oh, yeah. We were really.
And then for that,
gung ho.
You know.
Well, there is one sequel that we do not need to worry about coming out because we have a release date for Star Wars Episode 7. Yeah, this was going back and forth. Is it going to go summer? Is it going to get pushed to 2016? Is it going to stay winter? But now we have the date, and it's December 18th, 2015.
Yeah, I mean, with the whole, like, changing writers and stuff, you know, midway through the writing process and stuff, you know, everyone's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. 2015 is not going to happen. So they pushed it almost as late as they could into 2015.
Yes, they did.
Still hitting their deadline.
Yeah, of course. So there is another sequel that we're getting. But this one, not even close to being Star Wars related.
Yeah.
Horrible Bosses. Have you seen that movie? Did you like it? I liked it a lot. It was really funny.
It was just okay.
Oh, man. You need raunchy, don't you?
No. But
No, no, I just didn't know if you need, if you're one of those type of guys who needs a you know, there's a lot of people who now are very jaded and they need something very raunchy in order to laugh at.
This one was a little raunchy.
It's okay. I mean, Jennifer Aniston was the only, I mean, you know, she was hot in it. So, Horrible Bosses 2 is coming out in a future date yet to be said. But the story behind it is that fed up with answering the higher-ups, Nick Dale and Kurt decide to become their own bosses and launch their own business in Horrible Bosses 2. But a slick investor soon pulls out the rug from under them. Outplayed and desperate and with no legal recourse, the three would-be entrepreneurs hatch a misguided plan to kidnap the investor's adult son and ransom him to regain control of the company.
All right, so I guess that would explain to us or let us know who Chris Pine and Christoph Waltz will be playing.
Christoph Waltz will, of course, be the dad, and Chris Pine will be the son.
Yeah.
Unless they reverse that.
That wouldn't make any sense.
I'm your father from the future.
I am future you.
Yeah.
Our timeline is being retconned because Spock came back in time.
And that affects all movies. So we could do whatever the hell we want now.
Mm-hmm.
A very pretty lady by the name of Elizabeth Olsen has confirmed Scarlet Witch gig in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, this news came out today. Like, this is hot
really
off the press.
It hot off the press. You heard it here first, other than all the other blogs that...
Well, you may have heard someone talk about it first, but you may have read it elsewhere.
We're giving you the first news that you'll hear about it. You may have read about it. I am really excited for this movie. One, I am a huge James Spader fan.
Yes.
I am in love with his current TV show called Blacklist. If you haven't checked it out, do so. You're missing out. He is a wonderful, wonderful actor. He was actually on The Office for a season.
Yep,
and he played a replacement boss, and he was great in that as well. And so we have just this little casting news update, but seems like things are trudging along for Avengers.
Yeah, and did we talk about Aaron Taylor Johnson also being cast? Did we talk about him?
We didn't. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We talked about it because we in a past podcast because we talked about how Quicksilver is going to have two different.
Right, because he's
in
two different movies,
right.
And therefore he's going to have to be played by, I guess, two different... Evan Peters from American Horror Story will be playing him in X-Men, and then he's playing him in The Avengers. Or if you may know him as Kick-Ass, so excited to see him.
That's pretty cool, though, huh?
Yeah. He looks so much different when he doesn't have, like, the shaggy hair, curly hair that he does in Kick-Ass. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him from, like, Comic-Con this past summer. But, like, you know, he just looks completely different. So I'm excited to see
him. He looks a lot older.
Yeah. It's like he grows that hair out and then puts those glasses on, and he just becomes, like, you know, Dave, just like this nerdy kid, like the high school kid. But then he cuts his hair, doesn't have the glasses on. You're like, oh, dude, you're, like, you're like in your 20s. Like, whereas in the movie, you look like you're a 17-year-old.
He looks like he's in his 30s in this picture.
Yeah. And he's not, though.
Good night.
I think he's only, like, 23 or something.
That is nutso.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Are you sending me a picture?
I just sent you a picture. It looks crazy.
So yeah, let's do this on the air.
He's so old. Throw that picture up there. You know who?
Yeah. It's crazy.
You know who he looks like a little bit is, what's his name? Dream bigger, darling. That's a reference from Inception.
Oh.
Anyways. So Marvel is
yeah, he's 23. That was right.
Where's Nick? He'd get that reference.
Nick.
So Marvel is bringing, this is huge news. I mean, we could have led with this, but why not keep it in the middle? Marvel is bringing four shows to Netflix, starting with Daredevil and building towards the Defenders event. So we're going to get Netflix based around four characters: Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. And it's a with a caper being a miniseries featuring the supergroup The Defenders. So they'll build towards that. So
they're saying each character will get a 13-episode series.
That's pretty crazy. Over multiple years, the show will build up to be basically the TV version of The Avengers.
Yeah, and then I think they said, I heard or read somewhere that they're even talking about possible movies and all that stuff. So
yeah, and this is a great way to introduce your characters. So
yeah,
especially your D-level and C-level characters that don't really get much airtime or fanfare. So
yeah, and on this Netflix Marvel news, Jason actually shared something with us that I did not see. And unless that's also been deleted off of our page, see if I can find that quote where he was talking. It was about like Marvel and Disney and stuff. let's see. The new original TV deal follows last year's landmark movie distribution deal, through which, beginning with 2016 theatrically released feature films, Netflix will be the exclusive U.S. subscription television service for first run live action animated movies from the Walt Disney Studios, including titles from Disney, Walt Disney Animation, Pixar, Marvel, Disney Nature, and
Netflix got into bed with them a little earlier in the year, and they had an exclusive deal to distribute all the animation. So the animation, that was the first on the list, but now it seems that they've really, really made friends with each other.
Yeah, and I've even noticed just by being on Netflix and looking through the queue and stuff, just how much Disney stuff there is. It's mind-blowing, whereas like a couple of years ago, it was like, maybe one or two of their animated films, and now it's like everything.
All the Pixar, everything, it's crazy.
Yeah, and so I wonder if we'll, alongside with this Netflix original kind of Marvel series, it's only going to be there. Are we going to see maybe some Disney, like straight to Netflix stuff, Star Wars straight to Netflix series?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it's a phenomenal outlet. I think it would work well for both studios. And because with going with Netflix, they could do a Bounty Hunter series and do it right. Do what they want to do with 13/13. And have
I
an
wish
adult
that game
Star Wars
was coming out, man. I really do. It looks so cool.
Yeah, hopefully it gets picked up by somebody.
I don't know if you are familiar with the Kane and Lynch video game series.
I know of them. I've never played them.
They're very subpar. They're mediocre. But it was a great storyline, and they want to bring that to the big screen. The rumor is that Vin Diesel and Gerard Butler are considering the roles, which would be awesome.
Maybe if I played the games, I would have a more of an opinion on this. I know of them. I recognize the artwork here in the story, but it's just I don't know anything about it.
Well, Hugh Jackman and James Mangold are making another Wolverine movie.
Yeah, we talked about this week also.
What
was
our
official
this.
Response?
Meh.
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 What did Jason say? I hate meh.
I hate it so much. And you guys should be ashamed of it because it shouldn't be even allowed into the American Literature Association of Words.
And then we're like,
meh.
Yeah, meh. And he's like, sorry, I tried to share something. And we're like, no, we like that you're sharing stuff because you may give us something, but who cares? Wolverine.
About. Now, listen, I've already shared my opinion. The movie I thought sucked. I enjoyed the first one, even how ridiculous it was, but this one just, I don't know, man. I think you need a R-rated movie for him.
I do too. I think that I actually personally think that this one was better than the first one, because they didn't massacre characters such as Gambit and Deadpool.
Yeah, true that.
I liked it. I enjoyed it when I walked out of the movie because I had really, 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 really low expectations due to the first one. So I walked out of there with that wasn't as bad as I thought
it was terrible.
Be.
It was okay.
Yeah. But I'm not going to buy it, but I am excited to see Wolverine in the next X-Men movie. So maybe he can pull me back.
He's getting old too, because in this picture, you see all of his muscles and everything, but that stomach isn't as tight as it used to be. Just saying.
Yeah.
Ender's Game. Okay, double back.
I was just gonna say they could have fixed that those abs in post.
Yeah, they could have. Then they should have. Okay, because I see a lot of baby fat there. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so Ender's Game.
So Ender's Game is also looking at Wolverine's abs and saying, mm-hmm. "What happened?"
Yeah, look at Harrison Ford's face in that picture.
That he's like,
I am not pleased.
So Ender's Game director says that the new Orson, a new Orson Scott Card novel may provide the film sequel, because if you know the actual book in the series, the next one is set 4,000 years in the future, where he's basically setting up and talking to colonies and just traveling space. And
yeah, they did not touch up on that at all in the movie. Which I don't. Oh, I hope it's not a spoiler for anybody, but it's not.
Go read the book.
In the book, there's a little bit of time, not necessarily time travel. It's the faster than light travel. They're traveling, you know, across the universe.
And he's like, he's frozen.
Well, no, it's just that they're traveling the faster than the speed of light. So, like, I mean, maybe they aren't like cryogenically frozen, but at the same time, like, they travel so quickly that time passes on Earth, you know, as it would. But by the time that you get there, because you traveled so many miles, even though it took you 5 seconds to travel it.
It's
40 years.
Years
has passed on Earth, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. And so there's like a point at the end of the book where he's elsewhere and like he's talking to his sister back home. And when he left her, she was 13, and now he's talking to her and she's 60, you know, and it's like, and he's still a 10-year-old kid or a 9-year-old kid or whatever.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, you know, they didn't touch on that at all in the movie, which is fine. It works fine in this movie. So I can see where maybe like, one, Speaker of the Dead was a weird book. So
yeah, I know. Then that's the thing is so that's why the whole idea is that Orson Scott Card is going to produce a direct novel, which will be the direct sequel to the actual first Ender's Game.
Yeah, I mean, his Ender's series is huge. They've got a bunch of books to work with. So I'm not, and this one's going to be called Fleet School.
Mm-hmm.
But
they may not order it.
Yeah,
based on how it's done at the box office.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they had discussed doing it, and I wish that they had. Is that there is a spin-off book called Ender's Shadow, and that storyline follows Bean through the same timeline as Ender's Game, and that they were going to film both of them simultaneously.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I wish that they had done it. I don't think that they did, because I think we'd know about it by now.
Right,
but then,
right,
like, so this year you release Ender's Game, next year you release Ender's Shadow. And again, it's like the same movie, but it's told from a completely
different
point of view. And, like, Ender's Shadow is a great book as well. Bean is a phenomenal character. And then, of course, then he's got his own spinoff books as well.
Very cool.
So, that is that. What is next? MGM
well,
will reboot
what,
the
what
Adams
is,
Family?
What are you doing?
I'm moving on because you were taking your time.
No, sir. Listen, okay. I can't function without reading the next. Look, I can't even. My words. I'm lost, thanks to you.
Well, you took too long.
Well, so. MGM will be rebooting The Addams Family as an animated film.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I feel like.
Moving on.
Wasn't there a TV show of this that happened? Oh, no, that was The Munsters.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I was like, didn't we just have like a TV version of this that just got canned again? But that was The Munsters, so never mind. Addams Family,
What? I love the movies.
Loved the movies too, but I don't think that we need an animated feature.
Yeah, probably not, but it'll be fun.
I don't know.
Well, you do know what we do need is another sequel to Olympus Has Fallen.
I saw this. It was on Netflix the other day. You know, and I was like, "Oh man, I should rewatch that."
I really liked it.
I think that was the first movie we saw together.
Yeah, and it was the Die Hard in a White House.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It
did
was
you
good.
Rewatch it and
it
think
was,
about me?
Do what?
Did you rewatch it and think about me?
No, I haven't rewatched it yet, but I did think about rewatching it because I saw that it was on Netflix right now.
And then did you think about me?
I did.
Yes.
And then I was like, I think that was the first movie we saw together. Aww.
And then tear.
Yeah, the single tear. Those were such good days.
Where's Jeremy now?
We'll have to go see the sequel then.
Yeah, we definitely will, and we'll hold hands this time. It's the box office battlefield. All right, speaking of Ender's Game, so number five is Ender's Game, and yep, making $10.3 million for a total of $44 million in 2 weeks. Mm. So I don't think that we will get a sequel.
No.
I do want to jump to one movie that just was... No, the number six. I just want to bring up number six because of the numbers it still's making.
Yeah,
Gravity with $8.54 million for a total of $231 million domestically. Domestically,
that's a lot of money.
Number four is Las Vegas, making $11 million for a total of $33.5 million. Number three is The Disappointing Freebirds, only pulling in $11.1 million for a total of $30.1 million in 2 weeks. Number two is Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, pulling in $11.3 million for a total of $78.8 million. And number one, coming all the way from the thunder and clouds of Arabian Nights, Thor the Dark World has come back again, because every movie this year needs to have the word dark in it, making $85.7 million in its first week.
Yeah, and it made like over $100 million its opening weekend in the UK.
It's crazy.
It's made so much money.
And you didn't go see it.
I did not.
That's really sad.
Eh. I didn't see Thor, the first one, in theaters either.
Oh, interesting. Well, we will talk about what we've been watching.
Yes.
Are you watching closely?
I don't know if I can handle that dance. I don't know if any man could handle that dance. Or woman, for that matter.
It makes it sound like it was so much worse than it was. Just popping my shoulders.
Oh, no. Your whole body was popping. Your boobies, your belly. So I went to go see Thor the Dark World. What did you watch?
I went and saw 12 Years a Slave.
I knew it. What'd you think? Let's talk about that first.
Okay. You know, and we didn't do a show last week, and I know we both went and saw Ender's Game.
Yeah, we did go see Ender's
Game. So I guess we'll talk about our two movies, and we'll talk about Ender's Game at the end.
Okay.
Okay, 12 Years a Slave. It was really good. It was really depressing. It's about this. It takes place in like 1841, and there's a free black man in New York, and he is kidnapped. And then they pretty much are just like, no, your name is Platt, and you're a slave, and you're a runaway, so you're going back down to Georgia. Oh. And he's like, the fuck I am? I'm free. And they're like, well, produce your papers. But since he was kidnapped, guess what he doesn't have?
Papers.
So they ship him down, and he spends 12 years as a slave. And it's rough, because it's like, I mean, obviously, it's always going to be rough when they're, it's just terrible. It's just a terrible, dark time in our history. And, like, we've had a dozen movies with slaves and stuff, but it doesn't make it any easier to watch, even if it's, like, the eighth time that you've seen it in a movie. And especially since he's just he is a free man, and it's just, like, this is terrible. That this could happen and then no one would even bother to, like, see if he's telling the truth or not. And then, there's times where he's, like, he trust somebody and was like, hey, I am free. If you were to write this person, and like, here's their address, they will produce my papers and prove it. And they're like, yeah, you're just a slave. You're just a fool. You're just lies. You're full of lies. And it's just, it's rough. And, it's got Benedict Cumberbatch in it, which I had no idea he was in that movie until he walked on screen. He was really good. And Paul Dano, which... Paul Dano seems to get his butt kicked in every single movie he's in. Like, There Will Be Blood. Dude just got his butt kicked. this movie just got his butt kicked. And I didn't see Prisoners, but I'm pretty sure he got his butt kicked in that movie too.
We'll just assume.
Yeah, I guess he just has that quality about him that you just want to punch him in the mouth. And then Brad Pitt and Michael Fassbender, is that his name?
I said Fassbender.
I was like, wait, is Michael the right first name? But yeah. Everyone was really good. Chiwetel Ejiofor, however you say his name. One of these days I'll hear someone say it and then I'll know it forever. But until then, it's my best guess. He was really good. There was some things that I had problems with, and it was some of their choices in like directing and cinematography.
Now, they said that this was supposed to be like movie of the year.
Yeah, it probably will be just because, and this almost sounds terrible, but because of its subject matter, I feel that like it was.
But it wasn't shot very well.
It could have been better. There were times where I was just like, audio mixing didn't make sense, and it was like, why is this happening? Maybe they're trying to make things uncomfortable, because it's like, okay, so there's something happening, or there's music playing, like you see like a band playing on screen, so you hear that music, and then you hear the score of the movie underneath it, and they are two completely different keys, they're two completely different tempos, and they're happening simultaneously. And it was like grating on my, like, just like, oh, just it hurt every essence of my being. I was just like, this hurts. And I don't know if it was intended to make you feel uncomfortable, because the scene is kind of uncomfortable, but it's like you could have just pulled the audio from the scene down and just raised the like kind of dark music of the score and still accomplished that instead of having this terrible mixing sound. Like, it just sounded lazy almost. And there was a couple of shots that just I thought went on far too long, and then some that were just unneeded. And then I don't know. There was little nitpicky things about the editing and stuff that I just wasn't a fan of. But as a whole, it was good. I did. There was one other person in the theater with us, because we went at 9 a.m. and it was an elderly black woman. And you know, awkward. You watch a movie like that and you're just like, wow, I feel really awkward right now because like I'm. Please don't. You know, just I'm so. I'm so sorry. like.
Take my money.
Yeah, please. But maybe she was looking at us and going like, you know, here are two young men who are, instead of seeing Thor, are here watching this movie instead. So maybe,
she's judging the shit out of you.
That, or she's like, fucking white boys.
Crackers.
Like before the movie, she wasn't thinking that, but then afterwards and having to watch all how just in, you know, intense and stuff that was, then she was just like, it's all your fault. I don't know. I hope not. I hope that doesn't sound racist. But it was just a little awkward, because it's just like,
yeah.
It's just awkward. And like, it's just a shame that it's awkward, but it's a shame that that ever happened.
Well, so. I went to go see something a little more lighthearted.
Yeah.
I did go see the Thor. Oh, you didn't. What was your rating? You didn't give a rating. Out of 10. Out of 10.
Out of 10, 7.
Okay.
It'll probably win some awards. I haven't seen other things that are most likely going to be nominated. At least I don't think I have. And I just don't see it being the best movie of the year. It's kind of how I felt last year as well.
Yeah. I went to go see Thor this weekend. And I'll try not to give. I'm not going to give anything away. I'll give you a quick rundown of it. If you don't know what it is, you're retarded. It's Thor. You should have seen the previews by now. it was a very good movie. Marvel has not made a bad movie at this point since Iron Man 1. And you know, this just keeps the train on going. Lots of action. Lots of fun. My knocks against it were that the main enemy is pretty forgettable. You don't even care. He could have been played by anybody. There was no attachment to him. So I think that's my main thing. And I don't know if I liked the choice of using a dark elf. Like, that's the race that they were up against. And the only reason is because I've been around so much fantasy lately that it's just like, I don't want my fantasy mixed in with my superheroes, even though superheroes are like a type of fantasy. But you know what I'm saying? Like the
But then you've got, it's Thor, and so it's a different, he is in, almost in a different like plane of comic book superheroes.
I know, but he's got 9 realms, and out of the 9 realms, they're like, all right, let's pick an elf. I was like, I got my elf fix with my Hobbit. You know, I don't want my Hobbit in my Marvel. Other than that, there's a lot of surprises. There's a lot of laughs. There's a lot of things that will make you go ah! and geek out.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I was bouncing on the line of giving it an 8, but I'm gonna give this one a 7.
Yeah. One of my friends that actually went and saw 12 Years a Slave with, he went and saw Thor first, and then he was the one that was like, you know, if it's really good, and I think that you can't miss it, then I'll go see it again. Mm-hmm. But he's like, but if it's just okay, then let's go see this. And I'm like, I didn't see Thor in the theater. I liked Thor, but it was one of those I watched at home, and I was glad that I watched it at home.
Thor is not the, I mean, it's it, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of fun to go watch him, but he's not like the staple character in the Marvel franchise that I'm running to, you know?
Exactly. And so I was like, I also want to see 12 Years a Slave. But again, this is another movie where it's like I could easily watch it from home and be just as satisfied. But we were like, we're going to go see a movie. So we were like, well, we'll go see one of those. And so he went and saw it, and he said he enjoyed it, but that he was kind of bored by it. And so he was like, I really don't want to go see it again because I was bored the first time.
Huh.
And I mean, you know, it's his opinion, and I'll eventually make my own. But, you know, mm-hmm. I enjoy Thor and Loki and their whole kind of funny relationship and stuff. But it's a movie. I can wait and see it later.
Yeah, you'll be fine if you wait. So the other movie that we want to go see is Ender's Game.
Yep.
We saw this last week. I gotta give this thing. Listen, if you didn't read the book, you may not understand all of it. It may not be as exciting to you. I took Ashley to go see it. She had the opinion that it just was not good at all, and I think it's just because the movie didn't do a great job of explaining a lot of aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But it did justice for me. I gave it a 9 out of 10 because I just thought it was incredible.
I would probably give it an 8, but I was incredibly surprised when I walked out of that movie.
Yes.
When I, you know, it's like,
how close they stayed to the book source is,
yeah.
I've never seen a movie come like do that much justice to the book, other than of course the Tolkien's. But then there's a whole bunch of stuff that got added in that.
Yeah, and stuff that was also removed from the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. But and there was a lot of stuff that was removed from this one just because they don't have...
Didn't have the time.
Yeah, you can't... You could make an entire movie alone based on the time that he's
training
at battle school.
Yeah, like it's at least like a trilogy that you could spend at battle school.
Exactly. I mean, because he bounces around from all the different teams, and then like him developing his team and the strategies and all that stuff is a huge part of that book. And, you know, they focused on it for about an hour.
They honestly could have made this one book into a trilogy, and they could have had enough tension and enough like an end goal for the battle school to really focus on it. And would have been any good? Who knows? But they definitely had enough story there to tell a longer tale.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I was again pleasantly surprised. I talked earlier about cutting out the time travel kind of, not necessarily time travel, but just the space travel aspect that they cut out. But all aside, you know, and maybe it is because I've read the book a couple of times, you know, and I do know the source material well, that's why I was so pleased. And I can understand more if you've never read the book and you don't know the story, that it probably could be a little, and you maybe don't understand what's happening,
mm-hmm.
because they did go through the battle school really quickly. They did kind of go through the command school pretty quickly as well. But it's like, since I know what's happening, they
yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, if you follow the book, if you read the book, you're right there with it, and you're just like, yes. But anybody who didn't read the book, Ashley was just like, I didn't get it, and it didn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
So
and like, oh man, another thing that they changed, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, about Bonzo, the guy that like corners him to try to beat him up, mm-hmm. and then he like hits his head.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different in the book.
Oh, I know. Like there was in the book, it's more gruesome.
Well, he doesn't slip and hit his head.
I know he gets beat down, and he knocks his nose into his brain. Yeah,
yeah, and it's not they. Oh, yeah, he's fine. We're sending him home to recover. No, you're not. You're sending him home to be put 6 feet under. Exactly. Dude is dead.
Straight up. So it's. I mean, in the books, Ender's mind is a lot more fragile and messed up than it was in the movie.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Katie notices that, like, at the very beginning of the movie when he's at home, his brother comes in and they're playing, like, Bugs and Marines or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's like...
They totally didn't even need that scene because it didn't explain anything.
Yeah, and she was like, that whole game and stuff about them playing that, isn't like an entire chapter in the book, and it was a 6-second scene. And do you have company? What is happening over there?
Well, that's what happens when two women are drinking lots of wine.
You need to put a lock on that door.
I really do.
Yeah.
So, anyways, back to.
Ender's Game. Just saying that, like, it was a scene that was it was 30 seconds in the movie, but was like an entire chapter. But it developed the relationship between the children, and you have the brother who is quick to violence, and then you have the sister who's too like sympathetic, you know, and that's why he's there.
They didn't even go into the politics.
Yeah. Oh man, the fact that while he's there, the brother and sister are like starting this like online like
underground.
Like they become anonymous. Yeah. Like they are anonymous. They're from 4chan and they're just like blasting the government and like they're WikiLeaks. I mean, you know what's nuts about this book is that it came out in like 1977, and so you have like this technology where he's playing a video game on a tablet, essentially
a touchscreen.
Yeah, and in the book, I remember reading it, and you know, I was like in middle school, and again, that technology we weren't there yet then, mm-hmm. and just being like holy crap, the future's cool, and then like what 5 years later, like having an iPad, and it's like. I'm in Ender's Game.
I'm in Ender's Game, except I'm not as cool as him.
Maybe not 5 years later, but it's probably about, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just got out of middle school?
I just got out of middle school. No, I mean, but maybe 5 years later we had, you know, iPods and we were starting to get into that smaller technology, you know, cell phones became instead of like, you know, that huge Nokia brick, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's amazing what these writers can think up and actually what actually comes to fruition.
It's just... It's just one of those things that's blown my mind because I do remember reading that and just being like, holy crap, like this is.
What if we really had this?
Like this is, yeah, this is actually starting to happen. Okay, it says 1985, but I swear to God it came out before then. Even still, 85.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one can tell that the tablets were going to be a big thing.
Yeah. And just the I don't know. There's just so much of it.
Anyways, go check them all out. Go check them all out if you like them. Thor was good. 12 Years a Slave was good. Ender's Game was good. Check them all out. But we do have some movies that are opening this week. Pretty much, in my opinion, you can miss them all. We got Nebraska.
I don't know any of these. Nebraska
coming out.
Yeah, what is that?
It is an aging, booze-addled father. Makes a trip from Montana to Nebraska with his estranged son in order to claim $1 million mega sweepstakes marketing prize. Saw the trailer to it. Boring. Next, the Best Man Holiday. When college friends reunite after 15 years over Christmas holidays, they will discover just how easy it is for long-forgotten rivalries to romance and ignite. You guys, we have come from 12 Years a Slave to The Best Man Holiday. You guys can do better than this.
Oh, man. We joked about, like, what trailers we were going to see before the movie, 12 Years a Slave, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, we're like, okay, all the Oscar movies, or, you know, like Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And I was like, and you know that we're going to see a movie for like Madea's Christmas or something. And we did.
No.
Yeah.
It was Madea's Christmas?
Yeah. Was that? Oh. Yeah.
That's terrible. Let's not go on any further than that. Stereotypes. Charlie.
I know, it was one of those just like, why? Like, why did you have to go there? Because, like, it. I mean, we were kidding. Like, I didn't actually think we were going to see the trailer.
Because you got to market to your audience.
And I guess that's it. But it's one of those that's like, man, that's more like I, you know, it's, you joke about it. But at the same time, like, oh, you shouldn't have done. Oh, what a joke. And then there was another one, and it was called Black Nativity. And it's a, like a musical. And it's kind of looks like Best Man Holiday sort of, you know, just
terrible.
They had their Oscar movie trailers for, because that's half the crowd that's going to go see these movies. And then I felt bad. It was just like, come on, like let's be better than this. Mm-hmm. Than stereotypes.
We got Charlie Countryman coming out as well with Shia LaBeouf. I don't know how interested in his films I am ever since he has become like a drug addict kind of guy. I mean, he's in, I mean, I don't know, you hear all these weird stories about him, but this movie's even about drugs.
Yeah.
And it's got a 26 Metascore review, so I don't even care.
Yeah, it doesn't even,
it's not even registering on my radar. So let's just hit up some Buy, Box, or Burn then.
All right.
Buy,
Box, or Burn.
We have a pretty cool lineup here coming out this week. We have about 1, 2, 3, 4 different versions of The Man of Steel.
Yeah, what are the differences? Maybe like 3D?
One's 3D, one's the normal, one is the collector's edition, and one is the ultimate edition.
What? Oh, ultimate edition comes with, oh, look at that. Look at that. It comes with little figurines. You get a Zod and mm-hmm. a Superman.
And they look terrible, so don't buy that one.
Okay. Well, obviously buy the movie, but pick, take, you know, whichever one you want. You know what? I just bought a 3D TV. Maybe this will be my first 3D movie.
And what I've heard is the extras mm-hmm. are actually really, really good in this. Because extras have really fallen off lately. People don't really spend a lot of time with them like they did in when we had DVDs around.
Yeah.
And so... I heard that they're pretty substantial in this one, so I'm pretty excited about that. Buy, Box, or Burn.
Oh, I definitely buy it.
Definitely buy it. Next up, we have Turbo.
You know...
The very popular, very funny kids movie. You know what? Let me take this one.
Uh-huh.
Any animation film, Doug will probably say Burn because he hates kids.
That is not true.
Oh, come on. Katie knows it. We know it.
I actually love animated movies.
Okay. Have you seen this one?
No. Because, let me tell you why. It looks stupid.
Is it? You are racist beyond belief. Is it because Snoop Dogg is in this movie?
No, it's because Paul Giamatti's in this movie. I'm just kidding. He was also in 12 Years a Slave. Someone else that was
this,
in that movie.
This movie actually has a really high rating.
I know. Well, 7.1. Mm-hmm. That's pretty decent. It's not for me. I would not burn it. I would probably box it if I had children. Personally,
I'm gonna box it.
Yeah, but it nothing about it really appealed to me.
Okay. So, we have the Akira 25th anniversary Blu-ray.
Buy it, duh. Akira's awesome.
Akira.
Kaneda.
We have Dexter, the complete series 1 through 8, with a very cool box to go with it to hold all your DVDs.
Oh my gosh, is it like the slot? No way. Dude, that is insane. Oh,
$219.
Oh my gosh, list price is $459. Jesus.
You going to buy that?
You know what? If it was not $219, you bet your balls I would.
There's another one. There's another Dexter series with a head, and all the DVDs come out of the head. And that one's 490.
Now, I like this one. I like this one because it's the... Did you watch Dexter?
Nope.
Oh. All right. He has this the box, that little wooden box, and he has in it slides.
All the people who was killed?
And, well, yeah, because he's a blood splatter and analyst for the police. So he, like, takes blood, you know, mm-hmm. and he puts them on those little slide things that you put in, like, microscopes. Uh-huh. And so when he kills people, he cuts their cheek, he takes their blood, and he puts it on one of the little slides, presses it, you know, between two pieces of glass, and puts it in his box. And that's how he keeps track of all the people he's killed. And so that's what the DVDs are. They're in the little box. It's awesome. Like, what a great way to package that.
And
for Dexter
all the
fans.
DVDs look like blood splatters.
Well, that's what, there's like, because if you look at the thing, there's like one that is, but then what's, I think that's just the
case. Maybe that's just the case.
Yeah. But you open up that case, and then there's the DVD.
Yeah.
But then you close it, and it's the red splatter. It's brilliant.
Cool.
It is so brilliant.
And
that's why I want it.
And you're going to buy it.
Not $219, but the second that drops below that, which will never happen.
We have Blackfish, something that Jason was so adamant about.
This is the one about SeaWorld, right?
Yes.
This box, I haven't seen it. I hear that it's good, but, you know, watch it once. I don't know if you really need to watch it again. Because it's about like how they get the animals, right? Or the whales?
Yeah, it's kind of like they just tell a story about how they get how they're mistreated and then like the deaths and all that kind of stuff. It kind of exposes SeaWorld,
right? And that's what I was saying. Like, it's kind of like depressing, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But informative at the same time,
right? And I understand.
I only caught parts of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
See, but I can understand like the. I love documentaries, so like I definitely want to watch it. But like, you know, I'm not going to buy it. Mm-hmm. That's why I have Netflix. I Netflix all my documentaries. So definite watch. So, you know, box it.
Well, that does it for this week. Episode 46 is in the bag. This has been a wonderful, wonderful get together with you, Doug.
It's
I enjoyed
been
all it.
Right.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. As Doug and I would say, it was... Meh. Hopefully you come back next week. We got more in store for you, more exciting news about our upcoming transfer over to our new format. We'll give you some more details and stuff. But right now, the cat is in the bag. Next week, it'll be out of the bag, and we will see you in that bag next week. Right?
Something like that, sure.
Bye.